I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. President Obama called the president of Indonesia today to offer his condolences. The Indonesian island of Sumatra was rocked by an earthquake on Wednesday. The city of Padang was hit hard. The United Nations says more than 1,000 people were killed. Rescuers, including some international teams, are still combing through the remains of collapsed buildings in Padang. It's feared that thousands of people may still be buried in the rubble. The BBC's Rachel Harvey is in Padang. She walked around the city earlier today.
I started out just by a row of shops that used to be 3 stories high, but they're now only 2 stories high. The whole of that first story has just collapsed, and there were some military officers and some rescue officials that were working hard in there because they had heard that there were at least 7 bodies and they were trying to extract those bodies. And then I moved on to the hospital, and that's where a lot of the bodies are now being collected. There's an open-air makeshift morgue that's been set up with rows and rows of yellow body bags. The hospital itself has actually been quite badly affected by the earthquake, but there's one part of it that is still operational. Another part of it that's been completely devastated, can't be used at all. So they are struggling to cope with the number of casualties.
And Padang is a modern city with shopping malls. Are there tall buildings? And what is kind of the building stock there? If you could give us maybe the before and after shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's not skyscrapers. We're not talking a kind of, you know, Chicago skyline. It's a mixture of traditional Padang structures, which have these sort of pointed ends to them on the roofs. Very, very beautiful buildings. And some more modern structures, maybe 6-7 stories high. And then a couple of old Dutch colonial buildings. So it's a real mixture. And it is quite an important port city, this Padang. It has always known, though, that it's on a very, very vulnerable fault line. And scientists have been warning that this is an area that was likely at some stage to be badly affected by an earthquake. Of course, the problem is it's so hard to predict precisely when and where and how powerful any earthquake's going to be.
Sure. I mean, the reports now are that people are still buried in the rubble of some of these collapsed buildings. Do you have a sense of how progress is going on rescuing those people?
Yeah, just this evening, the Indonesian government has revised upwards again its view of how many people may be buried under the rubble. They're now saying it could be as many as 3,000. Whilst they're saying that, if anything, the efforts to try and rescue any survivors that may still be alive under that debris are increasing. Some international teams have arrived. I saw a Swiss team here with sniffer dogs working hard into the night. There is a kind of determination to make sure that if there is anybody alive, they are absolutely going to be reached if at all possible. And of course, in amongst that, there are stories of those who have already been freed. When I was in the hospital earlier, I spoke to a 13-year-old young girl, very, very brave. She's called Nizrina, and she was telling me that she'd had a very, very lucky escape.
I tried to run and save myself, but the building got on my body.
So you were trapped underneath?
Yes.
And how did you get out?
My father helped me after 4 hours.
For 4 hours, you were trapped underneath?
Yes.
You must have been really, really scared when you were trapped.
Yes, of course. I cannot think about it. My foot was broke and I got amputation. I can't describe.
A very brave and lucky girl there named Nisrina in Padang. The BBC's Rachel Harvey, you've been speaking with aid workers and doctors. What are their big concerns?
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to one orthopedic surgeon who's running the medical side of the relief effort here. And I asked him what the priorities would be and what outsiders maybe would be able to do to help. And I was expecting him to sort of say, look, we're short of equipment or that maybe we need more medicine. What he actually said was, we're really short of clean water. We're struggling to keep everything clean and sanitized and hygienic. And that is, of course, true in any disaster zone. I think here also, we're beginning to see a few other shortages. There are big queues at gas stations, partly perhaps people getting a bit of panic buying going. But there are concerns that perhaps more needs to be brought in. Having said that, though, the airport's open, the roads are open, apart from still some rural roads that we believe may still be blocked. There were some landslides, localized landslides in the immediate aftermath of the earthquake, and that blocked some roads. So getting out to those rural areas has been difficult. And once we have a clearer picture of what's gone on there, then I think we might be able to have a clearer assessment of the overall disaster zone.
The BBC's Rachel Harvey in Padang, Indonesia. Thank you very much, Rachel.
Thank you.